closed doors, y'all, what are Democrats saying about what Trump pulled off this week in Iran? I mean, when they're not lying in front of the camera. It was pretty damn cool. Here's Senator Bernie Morello. He's a Republican, talking about what Democrats are saying in these classified briefings behind closed doors.
One of the Democrats was in a confidential briefing in the SCIF today and said to General Kane, the operation that you ran will go down in the annals of American history as the greatest military operation ever conducted. A Democrat said that today. What's sick is that they then go on TV and do everything possible politically to undermine the administration. This is not what they believe. This is just pure political grotesque behavior. It infuriates me. Look, I'm just going to call it like it is. Maybe I'm breaking Senate protocol here. But look, I can't stand these guys that say something in private and they go out publicly and contradict it only to score cheap political points, which weakens this country and undermines our military.
What is Obama chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, saying? The truth. This is historic. This is amazing. This completely rewrites the map of the Middle East. And look, folks, not by a little bit either. Hold on. This is not coming up when that happens. Here you go. He admits you've got to admire Trump. Yeah. No president in the last 45 years had the balls to do what Trump just did. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. I mean, it's truly historic.
Everything that's been done over 40 years by the Ayatollah has been blown up. The nuclear program costing $100 billion, lost in Hezbollah, lost in Hamas, hundreds of billions of dollars, obliterated. They have a brain drain in Iran. They have a weakening economy, major loss. I don't agree with the President of the United States. Do not, on many, many issues. But you have to admire that when the United States says all options are on the table, he just proved all options are on the table. And China and Russia and even North Korea have to step back because that has a level of deterrence. So the blast radius of this goes much farther. Now the
Yeah, it was a big deal. It was amazing. But they can't admit that. I want to play this for you. It's today's epic rant. It's General John Raising Cane, who oversaw this whole thing. And he talks about how far back the planning for this went. Take a listen. Today's epic rant.
First, let me set the stage for you. There's an organization in the U.S. called the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DITRA. DITRA does a lot of things for our nation, but DITRA is the world's leading expert on deeply buried underground targets. In 2009, a Defense Threat Reduction Agency officer was brought into a vault at an undisclosed location and briefed on something going on in Iran. For security purposes, I'm not going to share his name. He was shown some photos and some highly classified intelligence of what looked like a major construction project in the mountains of Iran. He was tasked to study this facility, work with the intelligence community to understand it, and he was soon joined by an additional teammate. For more than 15 years, this officer and his teammate lived and breathed this single target, Fordow, a critical element of Iran's covert nuclear weapons program. He studied the geology. He watched the Iranians dig it out. He watched the construction, the weather, the discard material, the geology, the construction materials, where the materials came from. He looked at the vent shaft, the exhaust shaft, the electrical systems, the environmental control systems, every nook, every crater, every piece of equipment going in and every piece of equipment going out. They literally dreamed about this target at night when they slept. They thought about it driving back and forth to work, and they knew from the very first days what this was for. You do not build a multi-layered underground bunker complex with centrifuges and other equipment in a mountain for any peaceful purpose. They weren't able to discuss this with their family, their wives, their kids, their friends, but they just kept grinding it out. And along the way, they realized we did not have a weapon that could adequately strike and kill this target. So they began a journey to work with industry and other tacticians to develop the GBU-57. They tested it over and over again, tried different options, tried more after that. They accomplished hundreds of test shots and dropped many full-scale weapons against extremely realistic targets for a single purpose: kill this target at the time and place of our nation's choosing. And then, on a day in June of 2025, more than 15 years after they started their life's work, the phone rang and the President of the United States ordered the B-2 force that you've supported to go strike and kill this target. Yesterday, I had the incredible honor and privilege of spending time with these two Defense Threat Reduction Agency officers who've given so much. One of them said, quote, "I can't even get my head around this. My heart is so filled with the pride of being a part of this team. I am so honored to be a part of this." To you both, thank you, and thank you to your families. Operation Midnight Hammer was the culmination of those 15 years of incredible work. The air crews, the tanker crews, the weapons crews that built the weapons, the load crews that loaded it.
Unbelievable. Make you fall in love with America all over again. That's the kind of stuff that only we can do, if we're allowed, to defend ourselves from our enemies. It's just fantastic. It's fantastic. We took this horrible weapon away from the people who did October 7th just out of pure hatred and rage. Never forget something, folks. Don't forget who this is. Don't listen to these people like Tucker Carlson online. Never forget that Israel gave Gaza to the Gazans. Gave it to them. Pulled their own dead out of graves. Businesses, families had built for years. Vineyards that had been in families for generations. They gave them all. Whole thing, here, have Gaza, have your own space. Let's live in peace. It was a terrible decision, it turns out, on the part of Israel. They turned around immediately and elected the designated terror group Hamas as their government. Hamas, of course, being terrorists, never allowed those people to have another election again. And instead of operating those businesses, instead of turning a profit and building something beautiful for their own people on this peaceful, beautiful piece of land they had been given, they're jihadists, they're anti-Semites. They are defined by their hate. They and Iran went to work planning October 7th, where they would invade Israel on hang gliders, not the military installations, not a military attack, although why you would do that, I don't know, since they gave you the land. No, they used that land as a base from which to butcher families, rape women, and drag their bodies to the streets. Never forget the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and National Review, all agree that Iran armed, trained, funded, and provided a logistical real-time support for that attack. You give Iran nukes or nuclear fissile material, Katie, bar the door, because that shows you what they're capable of. And I hope Israel is hinting they're going to kill the Ayatollah. Hope they get him. I hope they get him soon. So they got problems in Florida. Good problems to have. See, well, our governor, useless, Henry McMaster, was busy golfing, cutting ribbons, doing other silly things. I don't even know what he does with his time. Ron DeSantis was leading. And don't give me the bunk. Oh, well, he's a weak guy. He's a weak governor. Who cares? You can use your soapbox. Henry McMaster put it in the basement a long time ago and left it there. See, they got a problem in Florida. Now that virtually every law enforcement agent in the entire state is deputized as a federal immigration. They double deputized him as a federal immigration authority, an agent of the federal government, which Donald Trump begged Republican governors to do starting in February. Only one has stepped up, and it's not our useless sack of you-know-what governor. It's Ron DeSantis. So you know what they're doing now? When they pull somebody over, busted headlight, they pull over an illegal. Well, unlike in South Carolina, where you're not even allowed to check to see, unless you're part of a 287G program, but most of our agencies are not, you're not even allowed to check in most cases to see if it is an illegal. You find an illegal, guess what? You can deport him. Henry could do this. We could deputize our agents. We could deputize SLED. We could deputize our highway patrol. We could deputize the whole state, like Ron DeSantis has done. By the way, you can deputize sheriffs, deputies, you can deputize police. See, right now what happened in this country is that the ACLU and other Democrat evil groups sued so that police officers could not stop illegals because they argued they're not, you know, agents of the federal government. They don't have jurisdiction. So that's why it's maddening when you pull over an illegal, you cannot detain him for breaking federal law. Well, in Florida, they can. We could do it here, too, if we wanted to. We just don't. We don't care to. And that is why I brought you so many cases of people fleeing now from Florida up here. We just recently saw this with a guy who kidnapped a 12-year-old, was having sex with her. He could do that in Florida, so he came up to here, South Carolina, where Henry makes that a lot easier, our governor. Well, the problem they got in Florida is this is working so well. They're now an extension of the federal government. They're just picking up too many illegals. It's beautiful. I mean, Florida, you might be a member of a cartel, but you still need groceries. I mean, you got to eat, right? I mean, so how are you going to drive to the grocery store? You may end up in Guatemala. It picked up so many illegals that ICE is saying we can't keep up. We don't have the facilities for them. We don't have the space. That's how well it's going. Well, Henry golfs. And so that is why they are opening Alligator Alcatraz. Right there in the Everglades. It was an existing facility they weren't using. They've just expanded it. It has 5,000 beds. So these illegals can cool their heels while they wait to be sent home. Thank you, Ron DeSantis. Every other Republican governor in the nation. There are some of them who have, in their defense, brought back the 87G programs that Joe Biden killed. But that's not good enough. We had those for 15, 20 years. As a reporter, I used to get the 87G reports when I was a kid, right out of school. So the idea, well, we'll have 287G. No, it's not good enough. It's not good enough because they know damn well that these sheriffs and SLED agents and everybody else can't stop people. You know what they're even doing? They're talking about doing this in Texas. This is a separate program. But also in Florida, bounties. You want to hunt them on the weekend? Your off time is a... You know, police officer, want to make some extra money? Go ahead, pick up some illegals. You get a bounty. Like hunting the boa constrictors down there that are in the Everglades. Get these people out. So Ron DeSantis has a problem. He doesn't have enough federal government doesn't have enough space for these people. So he's building it. This is what a real governor does.
Well, first, the reason why we're doing this is because we want to increase deportations. And what ICE has told us is that even though all my sheriffs and police are working constructively to apprehend illegals, they just need more space because when you bring illegals in, they have to process them. There's a little bit of a process that goes into that. And so this is really a force multiplier where we'll be able to temporarily detain the illegals so that the federal government can deport them to their home countries. Now, we already have this airport and training facility that's been there for many, many years. It will have zero impact on Everglades. I've done more for Everglades restoration than any governor in history. But what it will do is it'll be secure. It will not be interfering with Floridians. It will take pressure off our jails in Florida because we obviously have normal criminals.
Yeah, it's really sad. I think I caused this. You heard about the raid that our state did of that cartel-run club in the Myrtle Beach area. I think they did this because I won't shut up. I've been screaming and screaming, and you've been calling and calling and calling. Over 500 of you asked for the sent the text line number for the governor. And I think that the pressure got really hot on them. So they went and did one raid of a cartel-controlled club. They got cartel members. So they're here. They're here operating in our state. You heard anything since then? It was a few weeks ago. Nope. No, you haven't. It was just to shut me up. But I don't fool easily. So look, this week we had Josh Kimbrell enter the governor's race. We had Alan Wilson, our attorney general, enter the governor's race. And we're going to hold feet to the fire. This is the most important issue. Let me tell you why. It's not just about crime, although it is that. They can do this. If Ron DeSantis can do this, they can do this. We're going to get answers. I'm going to get answers out of these guys. Will you do this? If you will not do this, deputize them, facility to hold them, I'm going to do my damnedest to defeat you. And I'm just telling you guys right now. And if there's two or three who are willing to do it, then good. I'm going to talk up their praises. Let me tell you why this is the most important thing, the most important issue that these governor candidates will commit now to doing this in the primary. Because a time is going to come when we are going to be terrified and on the verge of amnesty. We are. It'll come. Somehow. It always does. Democrats get power again. Folks, the only reason we didn't get amnesty last time was because the margins were too thin in the Senate. We had like, you know, two independents that they couldn't get through. It's their priority number one. Whatever exists in this state on the day amnesty passes will determine, do we stay a red state and free? Do we flip to a purple state immediately or do we go full blue? You want to live under that? We've seen what it looks like in New York City. You want to live under that? Because that's who they really are. Well, we got to move and we don't have a lot of time. Folks, I guarantee there's hundreds of thousands here. We got to get them. We got as many as we can. We got to start with the cartel members. We know where they are. But you know what's so sad? Our state knows where they are. We know where their bar is. Get them. Pick them up. Where did St. Kilmer Abrigo Garcia, where were the states he trafficked to? Virginia and here. They're here. The day that amnesty happens, we need to be prepared because we need to get them the hell out. And if they know that we are hunting them, they know every time they get in that car, it's fraught with danger. You know what they're going to do? They're going to move on. They're going to go to another state. So on that day, when amnesty comes down, this will stay a red state and we will stay free. It is the single most important issue in this election. Make South Carolina a no-go zone for illegal immigrants. And I'm not going to put up with mealy-mouth answers from these governor candidates. By the way, so far, Nancy Mace, I don't know if she's going to run, is the only one who has committed with a straight up yes to doing this. So I'm hoping everybody else who runs will follow in her footsteps.